Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, the hottest conservative talk on the internet. So glad to have you back for another exciting episode here from the bunker deep below the McBurney complex. Complex or compound? I think if it's a complex, we have to have more than one building. I think it's just a compound, as the moat would indicate in the sandbags. Just came back down from guest hosting over at KLTT, the 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains, where I guest-hosted Bob Enyart's show. You can catch the archive of that over at KGOV.com. If you were unfortunate enough to have missed it today, we did a lot of fun stuff on there, but we ran out of time so fast. You know, I still have all this material to do, and that's what this show is for, to make sure that I get it all out. All right, now where to start? Do I want to start in my personal life? Do you think anybody cares about my personal life? No. Okay, let's start with the news. We're going to go to, this is a story from the Associated Press. A post-mortem has revealed that 20-year-old Chris Staniforth, who was offered a place to study game design at Leicester University in England, was killed by a pulmonary embolism, which can occur if someone sits in the same position for several hours. Whoops. Yeah, and he was 20 years old. His parents report that he was playing a marathon session on his Xbox when he met his unfortunate end, a 20-year-old dying of a pulmonary embolism. Wow. Was it pulmonary? Indeed it was. Pulmonary embolism. Deep vein thrombosis, according to the AP report, normally affects passengers on long-haul flights, but medical experts fear that youngsters who spend hours glued to their video game consoles might also be at risk, and the doctors are urging the kiddos to take regular breaks from their video games to avoid, well, incidents like this, which is fairly tragic. Now, Staniforth's distraught father said his son would spend up to 12 hours playing his Xbox. Well, Dad, did you ever maybe think about training or disciplining your child not to sit in front of his Xbox for 12 hours? I understand that you're distraught. And far be it from me to criticize you on the before they've even put the boy in the ground, but my goodness, 12 hours in front of an Xbox? 12 hours sitting in front of anything sounds, well, unhealthy at the very least. Just another example of the fine parenting skills being passed on to the latest generation in the former Great Britain. Let's see, anything else? Oh, reports of gamers collapsing after spending 15 hours in front of video games are fairly common throughout Asia. And in our neighborhood, there's a kid in our neighborhood we haven't seen in almost 2 years since he got his Xbox.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it turned out to be Asian.
And he is Asian by happenstance. This kid's been locked in his room for 2 years. I wonder if I'm not doing my duty as a citizen just to go check on the lad and see if he's still alive,
he
for crying out loud.
The other day.
Oh, you've seen him.
Yeah, but he was wearing pizza.
He came outside in his pajamas. Well, at least we have visual confirmation that the boy is still alive. But what a tragedy. What a sad story. By the way, in 2005, according to this article, a South Korean gamer died after playing online games for 3 days without taking a break.
Yeah, that happened.
Now, Microsoft, which manufactures the Xbox, said that it recommends gamers take breaks to exercise as well as make time for other pursuits. Like, you know, life. Eating, drinking, sleeping. Even if it was smoking, I would think it's better than sitting in front of your Xbox for 3 days. Well, maybe smoking's not. That's probably. Although, you know, these days, at least you have to go outside to smoke. At least you get some exercise, for crying out loud.
Well, in Japan,
what goes on in Japan?
Kids get violent when parents tell them to stop.
Oh, the kids get violent with mom and dad when they're told to take their break?
They beat them. They
beat up their parents? Even if their parents show them the warning label on the Xbox that's published by Microsoft. Look, Microsoft is telling you to take a break, young man.
Anyway, that's becoming an issue.
That's awful. So parenting in Japan is on par with Great Britain and the Denver metro area, apparently. That's just sad. Anyway, we don't yet own an Xbox, am I correct? Not yet. Although I'm not saying I would never get one for the youngsters. But they would be... They would, at the very least, follow the Microsoft recommended, Bill Gates recommended daily schedule for breaks and other pursuits. Well, I don't know why I'm laughing. That's a horrible story, but what are you going to do? I guess if you don't laugh, you're probably going to lose your mind. So, all right, now on to serious news. And this is serious, genuinely serious, from CBS News. At a lengthy hearing on the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms controversial gun-walking operation this past week, a key ATF manager told Congress that he discussed the case with a White House national security staffer as early as September 2010. The communications were between ATF special agent in charge of the Phoenix office, Bill Newell, and White House national security director for North America, one Kevin O'Reilly. Yeah. And CBS tells us that this is the first time anyone has publicly stated that a White House official had any familiarity with ATF's Operation Fast and Furious. All right, now one thing I notice right away, ladies and gentlemen, is that typically when a scandal erupts around a political figure or a political organization, that scandal is given a moniker. It's given a title, and that title is used religiously by all news media outlets. Whitewater, for example. Watergate comes to mind. But with this scandal, every article I read has at least two different names for the scandal. They call it the controversial gun-walking operation, and they also call it Operation Fast and Furious. So which is it? Is it that the people at CBS just can't decide on the right moniker for the scandal, or is it that CBS seeks to obfuscate what's going on? Because in the end, management and labor over at CBS would do anything to keep the liberal socialists in power, including Barry Ho and whoever's running his ATF and Eric Holder and all the other criminals that you put into office. No, probably my audience didn't vote en masse for Barry Ho or any of those guys, but we, corporately as a nation, elected these criminals to office. Not unlike we've been electing criminals for the past, 40 years that I'm aware of. But back to the story on Fast and Furious, which is what I'm going with. I'm declaring right now that the official name of this scandal is the Fast and Furious scandal. I think it works. I don't know why the folks at CBS are so tongue-tied over it. Back to the article. Congressional investigators obtained an email from Newell over at ATF, to O'Reilly at the White House in September of last year, in which Newell began the email with these words, quote, "You didn't get this from me," unquote. So there, now, if there was ever a sign of a burgeoning scandal, it's an email that starts out, "You didn't get this from me, but we've been running these guns into Mexico, and we've just been allowing them to go in, and we're hoping to track them and tie them to crimes in order to, I'm not really sure why. I just wanted to let you know some of the details of what's been going on. Anyway, you didn't hear this from me, though. A White House spokesman has said that the email was not about Fast and Furious, but about other gun trafficking efforts. So maybe that's why they don't know what to call the scandal. Because there were several similar operations with different cool titles, and they just haven't quite figured out which one they want to try to scuttle and hide. President Obama, by the way, according to CBS, an unimpeachable source, CBS, of leftist propaganda, President Obama has said neither he nor Attorney General Eric Holder ever authorized or knew anything about the operation. Okay? So that's the White House's position. Will they be pressed on that is the question. Will they be pressed on that by the press? Oh, this is a big enough scandal that could bring down any presidency. We've got guns run into Mexico by our government used to kill federal agents. That should bring down a presidency. But it will just be a bump in the road, ladies and gentlemen, a bump in the road. Unless the economy gets so bad that even the Democrats start worrying about their own pocketbooks. Then they could throw Obama under the bus in a heartbeat, and this scandal will just be sitting there ready to be utilized when it's appropriate. All right, now on over to Norway after the shocking and horrific terrorist attack by a deluded, something of a Christian fanatic. At least, I don't think he was a practicing Christian, or if he was practicing, he needed a lot more practice. But he was steeped in Christian tradition, at least. Now, you don't want to confuse Christian tradition with actual Christianity, because often the two diverge quite early on. And so you don't want to, but the folks over in Norway have decided, at least the prime minister has, I should say. He vowed last week that the twin terror attacks that stunned his country will not intimidate Norway, and that his countrymen will fight back with more democracy. Yep. And more legalized heroin, too. I'm sure that's going to help. And they'll probably import more Muslims, and that will certainly help the situation. But more democracy is what Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg believes is the answer to a fairly sophisticated and well-executed terrorist attack, if you can say that about a terrorist attack. I suppose tactically, incredible to think that one person could kill 70-some-odd people at a camp. But I think I said that last week. I said I can't believe it, but apparently that's what happened. The prime minister says, quote, I think what we have seen in that there is going to be one Norway before and one Norway after the July 22nd attack, but I hope and also believe that the Norway we will see after will be more open and a more tolerant society than we had been before. Proving that he is not qualified to be the prime minister of any country. Your society, Mr. Stoltenberg, is not going to be more open and more tolerant. It's going to be more violent, more polarized, and it's not going to end well. For anyone who's not totally stoned out of their mind over in Norway, which is very few. I think the shooter was probably one of the few people in Norway who doesn't have a medical marijuana card. All right. Now, let's move on into some scientific news, ladies and gentlemen. We've got some news about space and physics, which I know is scintillating and exciting, so I want you to turn up the dial on whatever device it is you are listening to this broadcast on, because you'll want to hear about this. This is from space.com, and the article goes something like this. To calculate the likelihood that they'll make radio contact with extraterrestrials, SETI, which is Scientists for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI scientists use what's known as the Drake Equation, formulated in the 1960s by Frank Drake of the SETI Institute of California. This equation, this formulation, approximates the number of radio-transmitting civilizations in our galaxy at any one time by multiplying a string of factors: the number of stars, the fraction that have planets, the fraction of those that are habitable, the probability of life arising on such planets, its likelihood of becoming intelligent, and so on. Sounds pretty solid to me, right? There's no real variables or unknowns in there, is there? Anyway, let's move on. They're using the Drake formulation, the Drake equation. Now, the article goes on to tell us the values of almost all of these factors are highly speculative. Oh, they are? Gee, I was almost sucked into thinking that was a really valid equation there. Fortunately, space.com let me know that these factors are highly speculative. Now, nonetheless, Drake and others estimate that there are about 10,000 tech-savvy civilizations in our galaxy currently sending radio waves our way. And this number has led some scientists to predict that we will detect alien signals sometime within the next 2 decades. I think they said that about 2 decades ago, or maybe 3. But they just keep publishing. It'll be about two decades. They just keep doing that. But a new paper is out by astrophysicist David Spiegel over at Princeton and physicist Edwin Turner at the University of Tokyo. And they argue that this thinking is dead wrong. Using a statistical method called Bayesian reasoning, they say that life here on Earth could be common or it could be extremely rare, and there's no reason to prefer one conclusion over the other. While it's true, now listen to this, folks. This is where it gets interesting. This is from space.com. While it is true that life arose quickly on Earth within the planet's first few 100 million years, the researchers point out that if it hadn't done so, there wouldn't have been enough time for intelligent life, like human beings, to have evolved. It took at least 3.5 billion years for intelligent life to evolve on Earth, and they're saying that if it hadn't started, then it wouldn't have happened at all, which is pretty darn insightful from a bunch of astrophysicists and scientists. I am thoroughly impressed. You know, there's a lot of people who suspect that they're from space. Have you seen that album cover? Yeah. Neil Peart obviously came from space. He's some kind of superhuman alien drumming machine. And the bass player can play the bass and the keyboards and sing at the same time. That's not human. What are the odds that there's another power trio in the universe? Like Rush. Is there an equation we could use to try to figure that out? Anyway, let's go on now into the science, really, file. Deeper, even. This is from the Telegraph over in London. At a press conference last Monday, the physicists in charge of the Large Hadron Collider said that they had established where the Higgs boson was not to be found, and that its location continues to elude them. You remember the Higgs boson? Higgs boson, we've covered that extensively on this broadcast. Well, not extensively, but we have covered it. Because they call it the God particle. And I have an alert on my computer. Any news about God, I generally hear about it. And I try to bring the stuff to you that is of import. Anyway, this Large Hadron Collider has been looking for what they call the Higgs boson, or the God particle, the particle that causes matter to have mass and somehow holds everything together. And they call it the God particle because I'm not sure why, because most of them don't believe in God. They don't believe that God gives matter mass, and they don't believe that God holds everything together. Although the Bible says he does. But I'm certain that he does it through perfectly scientifically intelligible means. It's not magic, because God's not a magician. And so the Higgs boson might be out there. And I'm interested in whether or not they will find it. Now, they've discovered now through the Large Hadron Collider that they know where the Higgs boson is not. And I know that I'm not going to make fun of that, because in science, a lot of times, finding out where something isn't is the penultimate step to finding out where it is or what it is. But scientists added to their postulation that they now know where it's not. They added that as the amount of data created by the atom-smashing experiments increases, they now expect to know whether or not the most wanted particle exists within 18 months. They hope to find Higgs boson within 18 months, provided that the European-manufactured Large Hadron Collider doesn't collapse and break down again. And we certainly hope it does not. Because I'm interested to find out, what are they going to say about the God particle when they find the God particle? Will they give credit to, well, God, the fellow they named the particle after? Anyway, if the particle is tracked down, according to this article from the Telegraph, it will explain how particles come to have mass and provide the final piece in the standard model of physics that was first set out in the 1970s. Now, the 6 billion pound Large Hadron Collider suffered several early setbacks after its launch back in September 2008. It was leaking helium, there was water dripping, there were rats chewing through. There was all kinds of things happening. It was almost as if God was cursing their efforts. But it was actually just European manufacturing standards. They've slipped, you know, since the legalization of all those drugs over there. And the onset of the new wave of prescription medications that have beset the planet. We might get back to that later. Have I mentioned that I think that all governing officials should be subject to drug tests for not only illegal drugs, but to find out what kind of prescriptions they're on? Because they're obviously crazy. And at least if we knew what drugs they were on, it would give us some clue into their mental derangement. But now back to the scientists who probably are on some kind of prescription drugs. But maybe not. But I think so. You know, my mother, by the time I was 17, she was convinced that everyone I knew was on drugs. And you know what? She was right. So don't just discount what I say just because it seems like it might be fantastical or ridiculous, because it very well may be the terrifying truth. Let's see. Last Friday, researchers suggested they were close to achieving one of their main aims, catching sight of the elusive Higgs boson. Now, the boson was first postulated by the Scottish physicist Peter Higgs in 1964 as part of the Standard Model of Physics, as an invisible field that gives mass to particles, but that field remains theoretical until they find the Higgs boson, popularly known in the European press as the God particle. So here we have a bunch of highly paid scientists, some of the greatest minds in Europe, looking for a God particle instead of looking for God. I truly believe that science has been handicapped, hamstrung, and retarded by the evolutionary model that it's been shackled with over the past 150 years or so. And that if scientists spent more time looking for God, well, they would do things, you know, dramatic. They would come upon dramatic and earth-changing discoveries. You know, like Isaac Newton. You know, he came up with a few theories that changed a few things. But he was trying to discover what God had done. And I believe that science has been off the path for quite some time. Since the evolutionary model became popularized among the unwashed heathen scum and God-haters throughout the planet. May you all burn and rot in hell forever, you diabolical demons. Is that too hard to say on the people who promoted evolution? Which led to Nazism and rampant abortion, and drug addiction, violence, criminal activity. May you burn and rot in hell forever and a day. All right. Now, speaking of that, and this really buttresses my point. From the Daily Mail, according to scientists, more than 150 human-animal hybrid embryos have been produced secretively over the past 3 years by researchers looking into possible cures for a wide range of diseases. I said human-animal hybrid embryos. Is that a little bit scary? It's a little bit scary to me. It kind of creeped me out when I read about it. And I thought, surely this is an exaggeration, but listen to this. Figures seen by reporters at the Daily Mail show that 155 admixed embryos containing both human and animal genetic material have been created since the introduction of the 2008 Human Fertilization Embryology Act. Did anybody hear about this? Obviously, we're not living in Europe. But this isn't like a fantastic science fiction story. And this isn't the exaggeration of some conspiracy theorist. This is research that has been encouraged and legalized by the 2008 Fertilization I'm sorry, 2008 Human Fertilization Embryology Act, that this act legalized the creation of a variety of hybrids, including an animal egg fertilized by human sperm, cybrids, in which a human nucleus is implanted into an animal cell, and chimeras, in which human cells are mixed with animal embryos. This is all legal and regulated and happening in Europe, and I'm certain elsewhere. Now, scientists say, they say that the techniques can be used to develop embryonic stem cells, which can be used to treat a range of incurable illnesses. So is that what they say? Well, could you explain to me how they can use the word can here? They say these stem cells can be used to treat a range of incurable illnesses. Well, show me one. You mad scientist freaks. And you're liars, too, deceiving the public by insinuating that this research can be used. It can't be used in any way that anyone knows of yet. But I wouldn't discount the mad scientists in that they will stumble upon something. And then Katie bar the door, for crying out loud. The humanists will take us down the path of literally eating our young in order to feel better. Need a liver? Grow an embryo. Take its liver. I hope you feel better. Now, how long do you think that the creator of heaven and earth is going to remain in heaven and not come down and execute judgment upon those who dwell on the earth who are eating his children so they can feel better? I mean, if you're of the Christian bent, as I am, and you believe that Jesus Christ is going to return and judge the world and take it over, by the way, well, then this just doesn't bode well. It makes someone like me a little bit nervous, okay? Because I just don't know how long, if it were me, I don't know how long I could sit around and watch that go on, for crying out loud. The lead author of this report on all these 150 animal-human hybrids, Professor Robin Lovell Badge from the Medical Research Council's National Institute for Medical Research. Oh, it's an institute. Okay, then it must be all right. I wasn't aware this was going on in an institute, and now that I know, I'll just be quiet. I realize now that I'm probably doing the right thing. After all, it is an institute. Anyway, this fellow said that as a scientist, I feel there is a moral imperative to pursue this research. So do you see what evolutionary thinking does? It leads one to believe that there's a moral imperative to figure out how to grow and harvest and eat and consume innocent human beings. That's where it leads, Mr. Darwin. May you rot in hell and burn forever in a day. But the scientist says, now he says, I feel there's a moral imperative to pursue this research, but as long as we have sufficient controls, as we do here in England, he says, and we should be proud of this research. As long as the murder of innocent people and their consumption for health purposes is properly controlled, then we should be proud. Wow. That is humanism taken to its natural end, ladies and gentlemen. They will justify the killing and consumption of other people, and they will be proud of it. In fact, they are. I shouldn't say they will be. It's upon us, ladies and gentlemen. The barbarians are not at the gates. They've broken through the gates and taken over the institutions of government and education, science and medicine. The barbarians have breached the gates. The barbarians are building the next set of gates in which to throw anyone who would dare speak out against this proud, well-regulated research. The article does go on to state that human-animal hybrids are also created in other countries, many of which have little or no regulation. So they're murdering innocent people there and consuming them with no regulation, and that's viewed by the secular humanist as less than ideal. Although, I was needing that liver, and if I have to go to Thailand to get it, I think I could be proud of that. As a devout humanist. Terrifying stuff, ladies and gentlemen. It's like end of days type stuff. Human-animal hybrids. It's almost too much for one to contemplate. The anger and the vengeance that must be building in the throne room of God as he looks down upon his creation. And the only thing that prevents him from destroying it all is the children that come into this world and their potential and his love for them. But now we're going to kill and consume his children and regulate it and make it legal and be proud of it? It begs the question, how long, O Lord? View, and I'm Doug McBurney. Glad to have you with us, even though we're exposing you to facts that might make you relatively uncomfortable, maybe even disgusted, terrified, perhaps concerned for the fate of Western civilization and mankind in general. We appreciate your ability to face the truth and don't shrink from it, but rise up and overcome evil with good. All right. And that's my hope and my prayer for this audience, is that you will be a part of overcoming evil with good, because evil is becoming rampant. Case in point, CNN reports that a group... pretty much all you have to CNN report. Don Lemon reporting, and you just know it's just going to reek and ooze wickedness, evil, corruption, and degeneracy. That lemon scent. All right. CNN reports that a group of atheists has filed a lawsuit to stop the display of the World Trade Center cross at a memorial of the 9/11 terror attacks. They say, quote, "The government enshrinement of the cross was an impermissible mingling of church and state." That's according to the American Atheists, which apparently is an organization. That's just great. With enough money to file a lawsuit. Let's see. So the liberals are, the ACLU is happy. But there are some concerned conservatives and Christians and some bureaucratic functionaries like Joe Daniels, who's president of the 9/11 Memorial. He says that the cross is an important part of our commitment to bringing back the authentic physical reminders that tell the history of 9/11 in a way that nothing else could. He says the cross's return is a symbol of the progress on the memorial and museum that we feel rather than see, reminding us that commemoration is at the heart of our mission. Commemoration is at the heart of our mission. That's just wonderful. Nowhere does he mention the fact that the cross reminds us that there is a Redeemer and one who has overcome death and can save us from our sins and death. And that the reason people appreciate the cross is that it reminds them of Jesus Christ and it gives them hope. But no, he says commemoration is at the heart of our mission. And it's an important part of our commitment to bring back the authentic physical reminders. Look, it happened to be there, and for some reason people think it's important and we want it to be authentic, but never would I mention Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus might not want the cross, he might not want his cross associated with the disorganized, graft-ridden, corrupt public works project that takes 10 years to build a building. Maybe he wouldn't want to be associated with you people. I don't know. I guess, on second thought, I guess he would appreciate, you know, that there are a small minority of people in New York City willing to show the cross in public, you know, without actually putting Christians on it like they would in the West Village. The East Village? The West Village or the East Village that's full of homos, do you know? We don't know. I think it's the East Village. Anyway, 10 years to rebuild the World Trade Center. A strong indication that the Muslim terrorists are winning. I mean, we can't even get our act together to build a memorial, and then we're going to let the atheists pipe up about the cross? For crying out loud. It's ridiculous. Tell me the end is not near, folks. The collapse of Western civilization can't... These people, they should be allowed to speak. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that that this makes the news, well, CNN anyways, I mean, it's just a sign that, you know, when the morons are allowed to dominate the debate, well, that doesn't bode well for the future when you let idiots and fools into the news and the newspapers. People actually take these idiots seriously. All right. Anyway, let's see here. Meanwhile, while the secular humanists in New York, while the only way they want to put the cross in the memorial is if they're allowed to actually hang Christians on it. Meanwhile, over in Egypt, according to the New York Times, tens of thousands of Egyptians poured into Tahrir Square last Friday for a day that had been billed as one of unified protest against the interim military government. But the turnout was dominated by members of religious movements. And now listen to this, folks. The New York Times says that the turnout was dominated by members of religious movements ranging from the most conservatives, the Salafists, to the relatively moderate Muslim Brotherhood. So to the New York Times, the Muslim Brotherhood, the foundation of all modern terrorism, all of it, goes right back to the Muslim Brotherhood. They're relatively moderate, according to the New York Times. The New York Times will not admit the Muslim Brotherhood are terrorists until the Muslim Brotherhood blows up the New York Times, at which point they might get the message, but we'll have to wait and see on that. They may declare that the Muslim Brotherhood was more moderate in their blowing up of New York Times headquarters. Now, according to the Associated Press, this gathering in Tahrir Square, the people were there, and instead of chanting, "The people want to topple the regime," which is the slogan that had been agreed upon by all the protesters, it's a slogan that's been heard at protests across the Arab world this year. The people want to topple the regime. Maybe in Arabic it rhymes or something. I'm not that impressed with that as a slogan, but, you know, we'll go with that. Well, so that's what they were supposed to be chanting. But a majority of the demonstrators ended up drowning out the others by chanting, "The people want to implement Sharia." The people want to implement Sharia. That was the dominant slogan being chanted there in Tahrir Square. And this is exactly what I and others had predicted, that if you give the Muslims democracy, they will give you Sharia terrorist states one after the other. And the dominoes are starting to fall. Well, the first one fell 30 years ago and in Iran. And was it 30 years ago or 40 years ago now? I always scare myself. 79, 89, 99. Okay, it was only 30-some years ago. Every time I turn around, things are 10 years further back than I thought. Anyway, but it's been 32 years that the first domino fell in the West because we had lost all our moral authority. We couldn't do anything about it. And now the dominoes are getting ready to topple. And it's going to start there in Egypt. It has started in Egypt. Now, in a video that was posted on YouTube from Tahrir Square, the Salafists, many of them wearing skull caps and conservative attire, marched on Tahrir Square while men in T-shirts and baseball caps looked on as the religious fanatics passed by. So who do you pick to win this? Who would you bet will win power in Egypt? The guys with their baseball caps or the Muslims with their skull caps? My money's on the skull caps, if I were a betting man. Not that I want that to happen. I'm just a realist. All right, now let's move on, because here, that's what's going on. The entire Middle East is on the verge of falling under Islamic radical rule, producing terrorist states. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Your military is there to protect you. From the war file pulled down from WorldNet Daily, Staff Sergeant James Moran has told WorldNet Daily he is now awaiting word from a military medical board regarding his future. He said an earlier evaluation found that he was unable to keep his personal opinions out of the office. Uh-oh. Can't keep his personal opinions out of the office. Well, that can be a problem, right? Well, let's get the story on this Staff Sergeant Moran. Now, Moran had served 4 years in the Marines in the 1990s, then enlisted in the Air Force after 9/11. He'd been in Germany only a few months when Congress voted to repeal the don't ask, don't tell, don't seek, don't smell policy. And he said he heard about the repeal, and he voiced his concerns about its potential impact on the military. Not that he knows anything about the military. He was just in the Marines for 4 years. Joined the Air Force after 9/11 because he's a patriot. Wanted to go over and kill the bad guys and protect mom and apple pie and, well, not Chevrolet. We need a replacement for that. Got to look that up here. Since the government took over GM, it can't be mom, Chevrolet, and apple pie anymore. If anyone has any suggestions, feel free to email me. And we'll see what we can do about changing that. But this is a genuine American here. So he says, quote, I voiced my concerns over the repeal to people I work with. And as a Christian, I was raised in America. And there were some things I was raised to believe are wrong. And one of them is homosexuality. Moran said he raised the issue with his doctor because he wanted someone with whom he could speak confidentially. However, the physician started the process that has led to his hearing before a medical board. And he's now waiting to learn whether a psychiatric condition will be used to remove him. So now, I shouldn't say now. It's been this way for 5 or 10 years now. Just saying that homosexuality might be a problem is now a psychological disorder, a psychological condition, I should say. And now one of our fine American military, probably one of the best examples of a hardcore military fella who we need out there hunting the bad guys, he's going to get bounced out because he said, look, homos make me sick. It's kind of gross and disgusting. Have you guys thought about that? I mean, we all, like, live together in one big room and we sleep on top of each other. I mean, have you really thought about how this might impact unit cohesion, military preparedness, and all of that? And they said, well, obviously you're insane. Put the jacket on him. Take him down to the lab. Have him visit with the doctors. I think Satan is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, for crying out loud. Staff Sergeant Moran, he said that the evaluation determined, quote, I could not adapt and adjust to the military due to my own conscience and strongly held personal beliefs in religion. Unquote. The natural result of that determination, he said, would be his removal from the military. He should quit. The only reason he doesn't quit is I don't think you're allowed to when you enlist. Otherwise, the right thing to do would be to resign. And hopefully he'll make some public statement to that effect if indeed the mad scientists kick him out of the military for being grossed out by the thought of his troops sodomizing one another in the barracks. All right, but folks, as disturbing as that story was, don't worry. Everything's fine. Dateline Beijing, China's defense ministry said last week that the country is refitting an imported aircraft carrier body for the purposes of scientific research and training. We have a quote here from Yan Sheng, a military spokesman. I'm sorry, I got that. It's Geng Yangxing, or perhaps Zheng Yangxing. I apologize, Mr. Yangxing, for mispronouncing your name, but he says, quote, China is making use of old aircraft carrier platform for scientific research experiment and training. Well, nothing to worry about. We're your friend. We make your shoes. We make your iPod. We love America. This aircraft carrier is just a project. It's like a school science project. Don't worry. Anyway, this project, according to Xinhua Net, which is the official news wire service there in China. This project marks the first official confirmation that China is pursuing an aircraft carrier program of its own. Now, here's the good news, folks. I know this is a little disturbing. We're bouncing out Staff Sergeant Moran because he's grossed out by the queers. And meanwhile, China's building an aircraft carrier. But listen, here's the good news. The vessel is an empty aircraft carrier shell purchased from Ukraine. The craft was originally built by the former Soviet Union. So there's a good chance it'll sink on its maiden voyage. So we got to hope for the best on that. It is a conventionally powered medium-sized carrier that will be equipped with indigenous Chinese engines, shipborne aircraft, radar, and other hardware. Fixed-wing aircraft on the carrier will use a ski jump to take Fixed-wing aircraft will use a ski jump to take off from the vessel instead of the catapult system that so many Westerners are familiar with. Why? Well, it was built by the Russians, okay? Anyway, they're going to refit it, and I don't know, they're going to use some surfboard wax on the ski jump and slide the SU-17s down, and out you go. Anyway, well, best of luck to all you Chinese participating in that science experiment over there. Since we're all going to be working for you eventually, I should probably start kissing up to the Chinese now. Avoid the rush. Oy vey. Okay, do we have any? Another story out of China from the Financial Times. Two Chinese fighter jets crossed an unofficial dividing line in the Taiwan Strait late last month in pursuit of a U.S. spy aircraft. The incident marked the first time in more than a decade that Chinese military aircraft have entered Taiwan's side of the strait. Two Chinese Su-27 fighter jets briefly crossed the so-called middle line on June 29th. Now, folks, you may or may not know that China and Taiwan have long respected the middle line. It was drawn by the U.S. back in 1954, and it functions as a buffer zone between China and Taiwan. That, according to the Financial Times. And so, Beijing now, they still claim sovereignty over Taiwan, and they've threatened an invasion if the self-ruled island ever declared its independence. What's that, America? Oh, you like Taiwan? We love Taiwan. You need a new iPod? We take very good care of you. Don't worry about Taiwan. We love Taiwan. Another guy. This could very well be from space. Now, what are the odds that there's another universe out there with another Stevie Vai playing his guitar until 3 o'clock in the morning, risking a pulmonary embolism by playing his guitar for 18 straight hours? Well, wait a minute. There's Joe Satriani, but he's right here in our universe, so he doesn't count. Anyway, what are the odds? Well, you do the math.
I think aliens are cool.
If we do find aliens, I hope they can play. Anyway, but now let's move into the domestic tranquility file, disturbing as it may be. This is from the Daily Mail in London. At least 14 people were killed and 53 others wounded this last weekend after a string of deadly shootings over just 3 days in the United States of America. We made the headlines in England. Yay, we're famous. Great. Grand Prairie, Texas, from CBS. A shooter opened fire at a skating rink during a private family event last Saturday night, killing 5 and wounding 4 before killing himself. The suspect shot himself in the head and was taken to Parkland Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. And this is what disturbs me about CBS. The next line, including the gunman, six people were killed.
What do you mean killed? Oh, yeah.
Including, as if a tornado struck. This guy was shooting, and a tornado struck and killed six people, including him. I don't know. Maybe I'm too picky about things like this. But including the gunman, six people were killed. They should say the gunman killed six people and himself, and by the way, three others were wounded. This was a part of the. This was all part of that bloody weekend. This not this weekend most recently passed, but last weekend prior that made the news in England. This was one of the stories at a roller rink there in Grand Prairie, Texas. More from the Domestic Tranquility File. From CBS in Chicago, a kidnapping suspect tossed a newborn baby he was holding at two police officers responding to a domestic disturbance. An officer caught the baby when the suspect threw the infant, and the suspect threw the infant and then started punching the officer's partner. Yeah. A struggle ensued and lasted several minutes. The mother and baby, who did not appear to be injured, left the scene during the fight, indicating that the mother is probably some kind of criminal. Authorities cannot try to bring attempted kidnapping charges because the child and the mother left. But police say it is possible that the man may be charged with aggravated battery and resisting arrest. Aggravated battery? He threw a baby. That's attempted murder, for crying out loud. And I don't care if the baby's crack-addicted mother doesn't want to testify. Everybody saw what happened, for crying out loud. The police should file a complaint. Yeah. Anyway, that's the state of justice. All right, here we go. This has been big news this week, and I don't know why, but I decided I'll talk about it because it must be interesting, even though I have no interest in it. McDonald's, according to the Associated Press, McDonald's has said that it would add apple slices and reduce the portion of French fries in its children's Happy Meal boxes beginning this fall, effectively taking away consumers' current choice between either having apples with caramel dip or French fries.
The caramel dip is healthy.
My four-year-old dips French fries in the caramel dip and eats it. Yeah, that she'd probably be a criminal. She'd probably be prosecuted for that. Anyway, the move by McDonald's comes as fast food chains face intense scrutiny from health officials and others who blame the industry for childhood obesity and other health-related problems. Yeah. According to the AP, critics wasted no time complaining that McDonald's changes don't go far enough. The executive director of a group called Corporate Accountability International said that McDonald's is just trying to get ahead of impending regulations. She said, quote, "McDonald's is taking steps in the right direction, but we should be careful in heaping praise on corporations for simply reducing the scope of the problem they continue to create." Okay, a couple of things here. Everyone is celebrating this debt limit deal that has come and saved us all from a downgrade or a default or a catastrophic global depression. All the politicians are all so happy that they're celebrating, and they expect us to grant our adulation to their fine efforts, when what they're doing is they are reducing the scope of the problem they continue to create. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this budget deal, this debt ceiling deal, they're not cutting any spending. They're pulling the old baseline scam that I think Limbaugh first exposed like in 1989. Baseline budgeting. Well, we plan to grow by 5.5%, but we're only going to grow by 5.3%, so that's a cut. So they're reducing the scope of a problem that they continue to create, but they're not reducing the scope enough. And I think there is a downgrade on the way no matter what they do, because Washington has just proven that they are not serious about cutting spending, and I don't know if the economic markets can wait until 2012. There might be a cataclysmic event occur before that. But also, back to this story about McDonald's and this woman, the director of Corporate Accountability International, which is probably an institute of some sort. She says that that McDonald's has caused this problem. But how much would you bet that this woman Did I get her name here? I don't think I mentioned it because I just don't really care, but I suppose I could mention her name. Nah. Anyway, she's the director of Corporate Accountability International. How much would you bet that the director here is a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-spanking, pro-evolution, and would consider herself either a liberal or a progressive? How much do you want to bet? Okay, I'll bet any amount of money. And we could do an independent interview with this woman, and she would accede every one of the facts that I just laid out. She is a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-spanking, pro-evolution, and would consider herself a liberal or a progressive. And folks, they are the ones who've led the way in raising an undisciplined generation of both kids and parents who lack the wisdom to control their appetites. That's why all the kids are fat and screaming. It's not because McDonald's is overfeeding them. McDonald's, I think, has been around since the 1950s. And kids didn't start becoming obese, screaming maniacs until much later. And it was the result of people like this. Pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, anti-spanking, pro-evolution, progressives, and liberals that have led to the childhood obesity and the discipline problems that we experience today. It's the pot calling the kettle black, for crying out loud. All right. Now, just a couple stories left as we rapidly run out of time. We're going to go a little long. Do I say that every week? We're going to go a little bit long. We got a story from WorldNet Daily. The GLSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, has announced that it has received a five-year renewable grant in the amount of $285,000 every year from the Department of Adolescent and School Health at the Federal Center for Disease... The name of the bureaucracy is so long that I can't even spit it out, and I'm a fairly good reader, and I'm a fairly good talker. Fairly capable. Okay, they got this grant from the Department of Adolescent and School Health at the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The grant's scope is to target school districts across the country with programs to increase the number of safe spaces for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, also known as LGBT students. What is a safe space for queers? Is that the in the restroom somewhere? I assume it would be in the bathroom. Anyway, GLSEN, is that how they pronounce their name? I just realized that. Is that the acronym here? GLSEN? G-L-S-E-N? Aren't fags obsessed with glistening all the time? Isn't that one of their things? Okay, I didn't mean to gross you out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. GLSEN, we'll just call them that because the other is just too nasty. GLSEN states its goal is to target 20 school districts and train 14,500 school personnel who in turn will impact 4 million students. And they've got the money to do it, folks. They will succeed. We have a quote here from the GLSEN executive director. It is abundantly clear that LGBT youth's experience of bias and violence at school contributes to significant threats to their health, their academic success, and psychological well-being. Truly safe spaces are vital to these students' health, success in school and life, and all of their prospects. Unquote. At which point someone said, "Hey, wait a minute, you're a lesbian. Talk like a man." And she said, "For your information, I am not a lesbian. I am transgendered. I was a gay man. I wanted to become a woman. And the one thing I really loved about being a gay man was the lisp. I just couldn't give it up. Now, Burr, send in your children so that I can educate them. I want to tell them about safe spaces." According to a GLSEN, according to a GLSEN statement, the CDC grant will fund, quote, train the trainer programs, also known as TOT programs, based on GLSEN Safe Space Kit, providing guidance, information, and resources to assist in effecting policy enhancements. The Safe Space Kit, in turn, is described by the group as featuring a 42-page guide to being an ally to lesbian and gay, bisexual, and transgendered students. It's a booklet that provides concrete strategies for supporting LGBT students, educating about anti-LGBT bias, and advocating for changes at your school. Remember, hope and change? This is one of the changes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Obama voters. Although, to be fair, this has been going on for the better part of 4 years, so we can't blame it all on Obama. The kit, the Safe Space Kit, also shows how to assess the school's climate and policies and practices and outlines ways to advocate change inside the school. Yeah, that's hope and change, yeah. We have another quote here. This is from the same lesbian who may or may not have been a man. She says, quote, "We are proud to contribute to federal efforts to support safety, a healthy and respectful learning environment for all students. This grant is an exciting new element of GLSEN's long-standing partnership with federal agencies in the common project of improving U.S. schools. Send me in your little boys. Send me in your little girls. I want to teach them." Unquote. So she makes reference to the long-standing partnership with federal agencies. Long-standing partnership. Yeah, this is an intergenerational problem. I mean, I mostly blame the hippies and the baby boomers for getting the ball rolling. But my generation didn't step up and do anything about this either. So there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're sending your kids to the public schools, well, you know how I feel about that. But here's a story out of Charleston, West Virginia. A West Virginia public school has been shut down indefinitely after traces of methamphetamine were found throughout the building during an investigation of the principal and a teacher. Now, police said last Monday that traces of methamphetamine were found in the ducts, in the principal's office, hallways, and bathrooms of the Boone County Career and Technical Center. The police say that the teacher admitted he smoked meth with the principal in the principal's office. Yeah. Oh, by the way, on a positive note, police do not have evidence that the school was actually used as a meth lab. So that's, if any of you parents, you know, if any of your kids go to the Boone County Career and Technical Center, just know that it's not a meth lab. It's just that the teacher was smoking meth in the principal's office. With the principal. Yeah. And so if you are sending your children to the public school, you're sinning against God and you're sinning against your children, and you will be held accountable, ladies and gentlemen. I can assure you of that. So you will want to consider that and keep that in mind as you ponder what to do regarding raising your children, educating them, and the destiny of your eternal soul. Keep all that in mind. Now let's go to a story. This basically is an update from New York, from WorldNet Daily, on where the modern conservative movement stands, our leadership, all that. Here we go. A pro-family lobbying organization in New York is challenging the state's new law legalizing homosexual marriage. In a lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court of New York, officers of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms argue that the state's Marriage Equality Act was passed only with the help of suspended voting rules, shady campaign contributions, and violations of New York State's open meeting laws. How despicable. Yes, we have a quote from the founder of Liberty Council, Matt Staver, a conservative Christian, last I checked. He says, quote, "Backroom tactics were rampant in the passage of this law. New York law requires that the government be open and transparent. The law should be set aside and the process should be allowed to begin again so that the people have a voice in the process." Unquote. Matt, my brother, come over here. I love you, man. But have you lost your mind? Do you have a medical marijuana card on you right now? Have you joined the Navy under the new ask and tell policy? Matt, what has happened to you? I thought you were a conservative. Matt, there should not be a process or a conversation about allowing homosexuals to get married legally. It's a criminal act. We shouldn't be discussing it, Matt. There shouldn't be a debate or a process. Maybe it's time for Matt to retire. That's pretty embarrassing. Pretty embarrassing. But that's where we are, folks. Conservative leadership has been educated by liberal Christians to where they've all lost their way. They want to argue about the process instead of arguing about morality, about right and wrong, and about what God says is the right way for man to behave. All right, now let's go over to Tehran, Iran. You remember this story? An Iranian woman who was blinded by a suitor who threw acid in her face. Well, that suitor was sentenced to have acid dropped in his eyes by her. Sound extreme to you? I think it sounds pretty just. Yeah, what are the odds a spurned lover would consider throwing acid on someone if they knew that they might get acid thrown on them? Anyway, Iranian state television broadcast footage Sunday of Amena Bahrami in the operating room with her attacker, Mr. Mohavadi. Now, he was on his knees waiting for her to drop acid in his eyes as a punishment. When the woman said she had decided to forgive him and she pardoned him, state TV showed Mohavadi weeping and saying that Bahrami, the woman, was very generous. Sounds like justice to me. All right, and I know, I'm not big on the whole Muslim Sharia law and all that, but it is a cheap imitation of real, true religion, and a cheap imitation gets some things right, and that just struck me as right. And that's the show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, Denver Bible Church, Personhood USA, American Right to Life, Theology Online, and of course, my other brother Darrell, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. I've out-talked the music. I'll be back with you next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.